Welcome to another bonus edition of the Pittsburgh Beautiful Podcast. Today we have Dave Moyo of Moyo's Musings reflecting on his recent blog post, A Tale of Two Franchises. It seems the Steelers and the Pirates are moving in two different directions, and Dave has some thoughts on this. So without further ado, welcome to the Pittsburgh Beautiful Podcast.
Welcome to the podcast on behalf of Pittsburgh Beautiful, Dave Moyo, and I'm going to review Moyo Musings from August 12th. That was yesterday. I posted a column about the Pirates and the Steelers and how the two organizations are run in radically different ways. And I think it speaks greatly to the successes and failures of each franchise. The Pirates, who had a nice little three-year run that really resulted in nothing, did not capitalize on that momentum, did not build on that core, and did not add pieces that would make them a championship contender for years to come. Instead, they stood by idly, lost players, traded away pieces, and did not add significantly enough to rebuild a winner and do it quickly, or to add to a team that was already very close to being a championship-type team. So it calls into question the leadership of the team, namely Neil Huntington, the face of the franchise in terms of transactions and running the baseball operations. But then you look a little bit more deeply, and you look at Frank Coonley, who is obviously a savvy businessman and certainly knows how to operate a professional baseball club to be profitable, and Bob Nutting, who is an excellent businessman as well, and just a disaster as a professional sports owner, at least in the fans' eyes. I'm sure within his circles, I probably admired for being able to lose, being able to not really invest in the product, but yet turn a profit. And, part of that is fans being loyal, and part of that is the way baseball economics are set up and the money that flows into all of these teams, whether they win or lose. The questions have been raised by the players' union. The questions have been raised by fans, and especially the sports media in Pittsburgh, about the veracity of Mr. Nutting's intentions when it comes to trying to build a winner in Pittsburgh, which he has promised he's doing. It's not happening at any level. It's a ruse. And I mentioned in the musings that if the Pirates draw more than 2,500 fans to PNC Park, it's one of the greatest all-time con jobs. I don't know why anybody would attend a game. I get that the ballpark's beautiful. I get it's a pretty enjoyable way to spend an evening. I'm just not sure why anybody would support what's going on with the Pittsburgh Pirates financially, why they would financially support it. I'll watch a game. Watch last night, put up a nice showing against the whatever the Angels are called now. I'll always call them the California Angels because that's, that's what they are. But whatever they are now, Mitch Keller went out and threw a good game. It was great to see him get his first major league win and hopefully, is here for good. I don't know why he wouldn't be, but these are the Pirates. And it's hard to tell when we're going to hear one of Clint Hurdle's famous, he has some things he has to work on in AAA before he can come back kind of thing. It appears that, Ray Searidge, for example, is being set up as a sacrificial lamb. Do I think Searidge is doing a good job? No, he's not. Do I think he's culpable for the demise of the Pirates? No. He's just another cog in this machine that is badly broken and in need of a serious repair. And really, when you look at the structure of Major League Baseball, the only way to repair a team like the Pirates is to throw money at it or to strip it down completely to its barest parts, get what you can for the pieces you have and rebuild. That takes a long time. Both processes are timely and one is much more expensive. So I guess you can figure out which one the Pirates won't do. So, the rebuilding didn't start at the trade deadline. You have to wonder if once the season ends, are some of these players who Huntington was reluctant to deal with the deadline, are they back on the market? Are they fair game? Or do you really think Felipe Vasquez is going to be closing meaningful games in September in 2020? It's just funny to say it out loud. They do it with straight faces, which is miraculous, but I cannot. So, the musings from yesterday really talk about this is as low as it's been for the Pirates. The 20 years of losing, there were many, many, many low points. But then once, they regained the momentum and the imagination of Pittsburgh, the Pirates had a fan base that was ready to support and be loyal and watch them contend year after year, as was promised. But it didn't materialize. And now the fall has been harder to take. The venom on sports talk radio, on the responses to blogs and columns that I see, it's absolutely violent. Pirates fans are mad. Pirates fans are done. And the Pirates are in danger of losing part of the fan base they regained and the new part of the fan base that is looking around thinking, what am I doing here? Why am I wasting my time on these chumps? So the Pirates are on some thin ice. It's hard to say they could learn a lesson from watching the Steelers. The Steelers play on a different playing field, not football, baseball, but metaphorically speaking, the economics of football are radically different. And the Steelers are on the same terms as every other NFL team in terms of what they can spend. And they just happen to choose wisely more than they don't when it comes to that kind of thing. Not lately. The last few seasons, there have been some curious decisions made personnel-wise for the Steelers, but at least they address it. Whether or not they address it correctly or in a way that betters the team, that I think that happens sometimes and it doesn't happen sometimes. Sometimes you hit on a player, sometimes you miss on a player. John Bostic and Morgan Burnett were huge misses. And that killed the 2018 defense. It was ranked 16th in the NFL in points. A lot, big deal. The point is, when it came time for a stop, they couldn't do it. When it came time for the defense to win a game, it didn't happen. And that area of the football team has been addressed.
We'll hear more after a short break.
Steelers addressed cornerback through the draft, through the acquisition of Steven Nelson. Will it work out? We'll see. I'm holding out hope it does. Justin Lane looked terrible in the first preseason game. It was the first preseason game. He'll figure it out. He was thinking more than playing, was my take on his performance. And I think things will work themselves out. He's athletic. I can tell you that by watching him. Speaking of athletes, Devin Bush, are you kidding? Again, it's the first preseason game. It really means nothing. But just in terms of watching the athlete, watching him go sideline to sideline, watching him close on the football, watching him direct traffic out there. with the confidence and swagger of a veteran. That was impressive. And I think the Steelers should be very, very optimistic about what they have in Devin Bush. And I'm sure they are. I'm sure that these men who know much more about football than I are very happy with what he's done to this point. Hopefully that continues to develop and he becomes the anchor of a defense. I still think Bud Dupree is a major weakness on that defense. And everybody has said he's going to be a big part of what the Steelers do in 2019. And quite frankly, that scares me a bit. I'm still not a Joe Hayden fan. I don't dislike Hayden in terms of, him as a cornerback, but I don't think he's anything special. I don't even think he's that good. I think he's just an average football player. And that might be good enough. Honestly, it might be good enough. So the Steelers, though, the point is, have addressed what ailed them in 2018. A lot of people want to point to the kicker alone and say, there's your problem. But I'm going to point to the fact that teams that had no business being in football games with the Steelers were in football games with the Steelers in 2018. And the thing that led to that were some defensive breakdowns that were mind-boggling and an offense that at times just sort of disappeared. You need a healthy James Conner all year. You need this receiving core to step up. And there were very encouraging signs in that first game. James Washington's performance was very encouraging. Again, first preseason game, one half of it. What do you really learn about James Washington? But what you do is watch him play football. And does he have the skill? Does he have the ability to perform in the NFL? Yes, he does. Will he? That's another question entirely. But Steelers fans should be very optimistic. And, where the Pirates go wrong and where the Steelers go right is the Steelers identify problems and address them. Sometimes they miss Morgan Burnett, John Bostic. Sometimes, though, they don't. And when the Steelers hit on players and are able to bring in productive players, either through the draft or free agency, and the Steelers they're not very active in free agency, but they add some pieces here and there. And when they hit, the Steelers really become a better football team. The Pirates rarely become a better baseball team. Through their acquisitions, their drafts are they're funny. They're actually funny to go back and look at the Pirates drafts, not just who they drafted, but who they didn't. So many missed opportunities when you look down the board, and I'm sure every single team can look at that and do that, point to misses in the draft. But the Pirates it seems to happen year after year after year. These big swings and misses on pitching prospects or infielders or, outfielders, whoever it might be, the Travis Swaggerties of the world. It just seems like the Pirates have this innate ability to miss the target on these draft choices and on their dabbling in free agency. Don't even get started on Lonnie Chisenhall and just some of the bizarre signings of the Pirates over the years. It's really frustrating. I'm a baseball guy. I'm a Pirates lifer. I love the team so much, I can't explain it. I'm diehard, and it's painful to watch this team be mismanaged the way it's been mismanaged from the top, and ownership that refuses to spend the amount of money that needs to be spent in the Major League Baseball marketplace to compete, seriously compete, and by this group managing the baseball operations for their mismanagement. And again, I say this all the time. I've defended Huntington many times I think he's, you know, given a 50-card deck and asked to play a 52-card game. And I don't think it's fair, but at the same time, you got to look at his acquisitions and his trades and his drafts and his talent evaluation and really question what Neil Huntington is going to be able to do moving forward. We've seen what he's been able to do. We've seen him hit on some players and build a playoff team. You know, if you ask me, it's all directly linked to the fact that he had the best player in baseball for several years. And the McCutchen era was built around that player. And the Pirates just don't have that player. So what? How can the sum of the parts compensate for that? It hasn't. And the Pirates haven't found a formula that's been effective. And the guys they've leaned on and chosen to invest in have not been good. And is Starling Marte having a good year? Yeah, he's having a very good year. That's why they should have traded him. Because this is probably the best we're going to see ever out of Starling Marte this year. He should have been moved. They should have cashed in on Starling Marte. They should have cashed in on Felipe Vasquez. They should have. Instead, they added some money to their Dominican program or whatever that money's earmarked for. And, you know, we'll get the Philadelphia Phillies 65th best prospect for Corey Dickerson, who, you know, by the way, is real productive. It's a real solid baseball player. So I just look at the way the Pirates do things and shake my head. I look at the way the Steelers do things and think, at least they try. I respect that so much. And, you know, good to see the first preseason game and to look at some of these players and know that perhaps Washington has taken the next step. That first to second year progression is a huge one in the NFL, and he seems to have made it. That's based on a very small sample size. But the Steelers need him to step up and be a contributor this year. Devin Bush looks like a man in the middle of that defense who can make a difference. Will the secondary additions improve that unit? Hopefully. We'll see. Many questions to be answered. And at least Chris Boswell looks like he's got his head screwed on right so far this year from what the reports are out of Latrobe and his performance in the first preseason game. To wrap this up, you know, you talk about a tale of two franchises. You're talking about the ideas, the operating paradigms behind the two. And even though they are in totally different economic structures, one franchise in Pittsburgh operates within that structure very effectively and is always competitive because of it. The other one, it seems, doesn't even want to try to compete in the economic structure in which they operate. So, the Pirates, you know, they'll talk a lot about how they respond to failure and building towards the future, but it's just all kind of a ruse and really speaks to the hopelessness of the franchise. But so far, at least 2019, I think it's going to be a real fun year for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's hope. I'm very hopeful for the Steelers. It looks like Mike Tomlin lost some weight. I like that, man. It looks hungry and sort of renewed. That's what I'm hoping for. The Steelers addressing weaknesses. They're good at that. So we'll see. A lot of football to be played to coin a cliche that's been overused a million times. But hey, This is fun. I enjoy doing the podcast. I enjoy writing the columns. I hope you're enjoying some of it too. You're free to disagree. You're free to agree. That's what this is all about. Sports is a perception. Just because I'm wrong doesn't make you right and vice versa. So weigh in on what you think. We enjoy the comments. We enjoy the interaction. So let us know how you feel about these types of things and what you think. Maybe you think the Pirates are well run. If so, let us know. Tell us why. I'm happy to hear that, man. I hope I'm wrong. I don't think I am, but I hope I am. So I hope I'm right about the Steelers. So weigh in. Let's hear what you have to say. And as always, we look forward to that. And until the next time, be safe out there.
As always, some interesting thoughts from Dave Moyo, who, as I say at the end of every single one of his podcasts, is the number one sports fan in all of the world, and most likely the universe, hands down. So thanks, Dave, for those thoughts. Go to the blog, pittsburghbeautiful.com. You can read up on it, subscribe to our podcast. And if you have a thought or two on it, you can leave us a message right here on our podcast if you're listening on Anchor, or you can hit us up on pittsburghbeautiful@gmail.com. As always, thanks again, Dave. Thanks for following Pittsburgh Beautiful. Stay real. The Pittsburgh Beautiful podcast is produced by me, Chris Klein, the founder of Pittsburgh Beautiful. The opinions of our guests are not necessarily the opinions of Pittsburgh Beautiful and are their own opinions. All of our guests have been invited to be on the podcast and are not paid for their appearance. Thanks for listening to the Pittsburgh Beautiful podcast. Stay real.